Okay.
Well, there's a lot of ways we could go with that movie clip. You know, out there in church land, and you know, there's a lot of argument between pastors and theologians on what's the best and most appropriate way to speak in church and to teach, to do sermons, to preach, and all that stuff. You know, one side says the proper way is to pick a book of the Bible, start in the beginning and go passage by passage, even verse by verse, all the way through until you're done. The other school of thought says the best way to do it is to pick a topic. We see Jesus do this. We see Paul do this. They pick topics that people needed to hear about. And you look through as much of the Bible as you possibly can to show how we should live out that topic. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's faith. Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's serving. And so we do both here at Neighborhood Church. I believe personally both are good. But during Christmas or a few times a year, every once in a while, we pick a fun movie clip and kind of work backwards from that. And so, but there's so many different ways you could go with this clip. But the one that really spoke to me the most as I was looking at it was the challenge that there is in embracing people that, you know, whether we're in middle school, high school, grown-ups, it can be a challenge to build relationships with people that are different than us, you know, that we're not comfortable around at first. And what's so beautiful in that little scene with Buddy and his little brother is how at first there's a lot of awkwardness and uncomfortability, but as soon as they spend a little time and maybe go through a little drama together, they see that they have some things in common. And they see that there's a friendship that can be built. And so it's just sometimes we just need to give things a little bit of time. Otherwise, we might end up being a cotton-headed ninny muggin. We don't want to be that. Okay. So, but before we get into this, I got to do a little psych test with you here. Okay. When you see this next image, what do you think of? Getting a little Rorschach. I can't even say that.
Rorschach.
Let me see. What's that? Snow skiing. Anybody else see snow skiing?
No.
Okay. And so that's what I was going for. And so in skiing, you know, and watching that clip with the snow, what game was that this morning, that football game that they were playing in like 4 inches of snow? Who was that?
Buffalo.
That was the Buffalo game? And so just seeing some snow, and it's this time of year. Raise your hand if you enjoy. Are you a snow skier, snowboarder? Just like to go up into the snow? Well, if you're a skier or a snowboarder, up in the mountains, they tell you the different levels of terrain for skiing by the symbols. This is kind of the international symbols of skiing. And so the green circle means that's the easiest way down. Those are the easy beginner kind of bunny trail kind of trails. So those are the easy ones when you're first starting out. Then the blue squares, those are the intermediate runs that you kind of work your way up to after you've been on some skis for a little while and you feel more comfortable. And then as you advance to the black diamonds, that means those are the hardest trails at any given ski resort. Those are the steepest ones. Those are the ones they don't necessarily groom overnight, so they're smooth the next morning. They let them get up, be all moguly. You know what moguls are? Those are the bumps in the snow from the skiers carving out the snow, and just makes it more difficult. And so as I was growing up, my dad used to like to take our family up to the mountains, and he'd put us in ski lessons,
and, you know, tried to get me and my brother to, you know, be as good as he could. Mostly, I found out later, as a parent, the reason he was doing that was so he wouldn't have to supervise us. You know, he could just let, you know, he could hit the lodge for Irish coffee and, you know, and kind of relax for a while. But then also that he knew that we'd be safe up on the hill. But as I got older, you know, and the best way I found to get better on skis was, you know, skiing with people better than me. You know, it's like having an instructor, but then you kind of, you plateau when you're just kind of on your own or with you know, people that can't challenge you to get better. But I had a couple buddies in college that would take the time, you know, when we went skiing. And this one, you know, I remember Wes Mohorder got me on this run. This is up at Alpine Meadows. This is a real run up at Alpine Meadows. And I'm all, dude, you got to be kidding. And he's all, don't worry, I can get you down this. And I'm all, that's not just a black diamond. These exist. At some resorts, they actually classify some runs with the double black diamond. And so he's all, just realize, okay, the name of this run, I couldn't get an actual picture of a sign that said, it's called Our Father, because that's the prayer you say before you head down the hill, right? But Our Father at Alpine Meadows is a double black diamond. And I just remember, you know, just like, you know, shaking in my ski boots, and he's like, don't worry, I'm going to get you down this hill. And he was so patient with me, you know, and that weekend of skiing, I probably improved more than any other, you know, time in my skiing history, because he was so focused on just telling me these little tips, because he grew up in the mountains and he was just this amazing skier. And, you know, and it was always hard trying to figure out where to turn in those moguls, you know, because they're super bumpy and stuff. And I remember him saying, Rick, you want to hit it on the top third. He was that detailed. You start your turn on the top third of the mogul. If you're a skier, that might make some sense to you, but it just opened up a whole new world and freedom for me to get down this tougher terrain. And as I think about how do we grow spiritually and our ability to love our neighbor better, you know, and to build friendships and relationships with people that maybe at first we just don't feel comfortable around, and embracing others, you know, what's the best way we can do that? And I just want to look at three little stories where we see Jesus is kind of he's our guide. He's our ski patrol. He's the one that's going to get us down the mountain of life the best. And he's going to do it in our time. If we're starting, you know, at that green circle, that's great. He meets us there. But he wants to get us on those blue runs. He eventually wants to get us down those steep moguls. And what maybe we never thought we could do ever before, we find ourselves doing and being up for the challenge, because he has patiently guided us through more and more challenging acts of service, of selflessness. But it's tough embracing others, even when someone is different, can be, you know, think about who you're naturally attracted to feel comfortable with. Maybe, you know, arrive at a party or some sort of event. We naturally look, and I remember learning this at a seminar during my seminary years, was when you walk into church, for example, the first thing, consciously or subconsciously, you look for is, are there people like me? Are there people in my age group? Are there people in my life stage? You know, maybe are there kids there that are the same age as my kids? Are there people dressed like me? Do the cars in the parking lot kind of look like the cars that I drive? You know, we that's what makes us comfortable. Because when we walk into an environment where people are different, you know, we kind of go, will I be accepted here? will I, you know, want to, you know, build a relationship here? Share this little story where Jesus strikes up a relationship with somebody that nobody in his shoes should ever be talking to. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food, left him all alone there to cause trouble. The Samaritan woman said to him, wait a second. Did you not read the rules here? You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman, not just a Samaritan, female here. How can you talk to, why, you're asking me for a drink? You're even talking to me? And John, who wrote this gospel, puts in this little parenthetical, so, you know, in case you didn't understand the local culture, for Jews just don't associate with Samaritans, let alone in Jewish culture, just even for a Jewish man to speak casually to some Jewish woman, let alone now a Samaritan woman, was you just didn't do that. And she was very ready to be shunned because of the different traditions, the different belief system, the different bloodlines, all that stuff. There was a huge wall of separation that Jesus casually broke down on this one little trip between towns, and they had to take a little detour through the Samaritan town. When his disciples returned, and there's more to that story, but I want to just skip to the end here. When his disciples returned, they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no, they were too, it was one of those moments, everybody's thinking it, but no one had the guts to say anything. No one asked, but they were all thinking, what do you want? Why? What are you after here? Why are you talking with her? And it's one of the examples where just because somebody was from a different background and the rules, the code, so to speak, said you don't associate. This is where we see Jesus guiding us down the mountain. And he says, look, this is how you advance. This is how you get better at life, is you break those man-made rules. You break those traditions that everybody's so afraid they better, you know, make sure and follow. It's like this is how you deal with those. Somebody's different than you, and the status quo is you do your own thing and let them do their own thing. You just kind of quietly, you know, don't strike up a conversation, just keep to yourself. No. Here's what I want you doing. I want you pointing those skis downhill and start to put your weight on that downhill ski. It's going to take a little faith and a little courage, but as soon as you do that, you're going to start going into a nice, safe turn. And then you're going to do the next. You're going to put your weight on that next downhill ski and start a new turn. Yeah, what am I even talking? If you're, you know, ski language here. But what Jesus is saying is follow my example. Don't let cultural barriers get in the way of building a relationship. And if you don't know the end of the story, a whole town, because of this conversation with this one woman, a whole town turns their faith to Jesus and is transformed just because of this one little conversation that did away with all the rules and all the barriers just because somebody's different. That is a huge opportunity to embrace that challenge, strike up a conversation, build a relationship. But sometimes it's even harder than that. Sometimes what do you do when someone is unliked? Okay, start thinking of that person at work. Maybe there's a person that you only see around the holidays that are part of extended family, and they're annoying. Nobody likes them. Or it's like, oh, how did I get stuck at the punch bowl next to that? You know, and so, you know, whether it's at the office, at family, or even in the neighborhood, there's always somebody that everybody's trying to avoid because maybe they're the unpopular person. They're the one who is unliked. Nobody wants to talk to that person. Again, how does Jesus lead? So here's a little story. Jesus still hasn't built up his team of guys. He's going around and he's looking for young men that will stretch themselves to follow him and be the beginning of changing the world around. And all of a sudden, he eyes somebody that nobody at that point is even, nobody would say that's a potential recruit. It's like, are you kidding? It's like, I know we're just fishermen, but this guy, nobody's going to like us if he's on our team. What are you doing, Jesus? But Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. You don't go recruit tax collectors when you're trying to start a whole new religion. All right? That's the last guy you want representing your blossoming startup. We're not going to win any friends here. Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi. This is where we get Levi. This is how this word started. Actually, it even has a bigger history than that. And Levi's got another name, Matthew. And so if you read this story in the book of Matthew, this one's in the book of Luke, he's going by the name of Matthew. And so Luke goes by his other name, Levi. Same thing. Then Levi, follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left his current career, left a pretty profitable career. You did well as a tax collector because there was always kickbacks that could be had and skimming off the top and all of that. But now somebody was giving Levi a fresh start to do something more honorable. Following a rabbi was a pretty big deal. But rabbis just didn't ask anybody to be, in their small group and to follow them. I mean, you usually, had to have a little bit more on your resume than just being a greedy tax collector. But Jesus saw something in this young man that nobody else did. And then Levi turns around and throws a party for Jesus at his own home, and a large crowd of other tax collectors, other guys nobody likes, shows up along with a bunch of other partiers. And the Pharisees, the religious establishment, and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect, complained to the disciples and said, "You guys, what are you doing? Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Well, I guess they just sort of mumbled, "That's because that's what Jesus does." Believe me, it wasn't our idea. And Jesus was doing this, I think, specifically for those disciples. To say, this is how we do it. This is our style. We go after those who no one else would want to associate with. Even if that makes us look bad, don't worry. We're going to do plenty of things that change people's minds about who we are and what we represent. That will come. Don't freak out just because the short-term image looks bad. We've got plenty of opportunity to turn things around. But this is who we're after. Later on in being personally challenged with his choice of parties that he attends, Jesus said, "You know what? You're right. But honestly, what doctor do you know that goes around trying to heal the healthy? And so I've come for the not so healthy." And so that is who Jesus was after. Those who everybody else just wants to stay away from because nobody likes them. Sorry, but next time you're at that punch bowl and you get stuck, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart and you're going to get cement in your shoes.
because and you're gonna as much as you want to ditch out on that conversation, you're gonna go, shoot, this is how Jesus wants me to ski. I'm gonna plateau. I'm never gonna make it off the bunny slopes if I don't just chill and go with the flow here and see where this leads. Okay, it gets worse. Could it get any worse? So not only can people be different, you know, just be a little, you know, just, you know, look different, act different, you know, sound different, you know, and just nobody else likes them, but sometimes people are just needy, you know, and it's like you feel like you can't even have a conversation with just all this drama, all these problems come up, and you just want to, you know, it's like they're not, there's people for you, just for whatever reason, for us, you know, just depends on your personality. It's just, that's just going to be a lot of work. It's just going to be a lot of time. I just don't know if I can give them that. I just don't know if I can get too close. I'm afraid of getting too close. And there's a little story in Jesus' life that I remember I'd read it seemed like 100 times. And I remember having to do a little paper, you know, thing on Jesus' the different ways he healed people. Sometimes he would just say things. Sometimes, remember the story where he's on his way to heal the centurion's servant? And the centurion sends out a representative and says, don't come to my house, just say it. I mean, it's like, you don't have to come in person. Are you kidding me? I don't want to bug you. And I know, you know, I don't want to inconvenience you. Just say the word. And Jesus goes, wow, all right. And he says the word, and the servant was healed at that very moment. There's all different kinds. Remember the story where Jesus, like, spits in mud to heal the blind guy? It's like, why does he even do that? Those are going to be fun questions to ask Jesus someday. It's like, why did you do it this way? Why did you do it that way? Well, there's a super, even grosser story than that. But I remember going, trying to think, if I was Jesus, would I even... There's no way I would do that. There's no way I would even get, I would, you know, touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. You just don't want to get too close. But I remember after really looking at this little story, I would never have an excuse, and I've never had an excuse since, to stay arm's length from someone. No matter how much, it's gonna, you know, no matter how much it's going to, you know, be an unknown of what could happen. Well, Jesus was in one of the towns. A man came along who was covered with leprosy. Not just a little leprosy. Covered in leprosy. I mean, the most infectious skin disease. Ugh. Remember that house episode? Ugh. Okay, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Everybody else has given up on me. And I'm isolated and I'm shunned. I gotta live away from my family, live outside of town. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And the rest of us now, if we're going to follow in his tracks, if we're going to follow in Jesus' tracks, we have to be willing to. Jesus said, I am willing. And he touches the man. And the man is healed. But I just love that little line. I am willing. I have to always be willing. No matter what the awkward, time-consuming, inconvenient, maybe even dangerous in the sense of there's going to be some unknowns if I build a relationship here. Who knows what I'm getting myself into?
Am I willing to embrace a relationship? You know what? And sometimes this simply just means having a conversation. Because there's so many times, well, I just don't have time. This is only going to just be work. Well, it could be. It very well could be. But it's the work that you've been called to do that's important. And I'm out of excuses. After those three stories, if I ever want to be, moving through life in the fashion that Jesus envisions me living, I've got to be willing to embrace others, even when they're different. I wrote unpopular. What do you like better, unpopular or unliked? I kept going back and forth with that. Different, unpopular, needy. I love this little picture. Maybe you've done this. I've done this with all three of my kids. It's backbreaking. But this is Jesus guiding you down that little bunny slope, and he's got you safe within his arms. He's gonna take you step by step till someday you're just bouncing, just cruising through those moguls at high speed because you followed in his tracks and you've let him mentor you and shape you, groom you to live the way he lives. And so wherever you might be, maybe you see those different categories and you just go, oh man, I'm in the lodge with that Irish coffee. That's where I'm at. Or maybe it's like, okay, I've been embracing and I'm doing my best, but there's this one person and God's Spirit will let you know who that is. You've got to let him take you to that next level. That's what he wants to do in and through you. That, isn't it so cool that is our God, that is who Jesus is, that is who this God of the universe came in this little baby that we celebrate in so many crazy fun ways during Christmas. That is what he wanted to tell us. He wanted to reveal this is who he is. He's the one that never hesitates. Somebody's different. If somebody is unliked or unpopular, or if somebody is full of need, that is what Christmas is all about. Let me say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to ski like you. Lord, help us down that. That's a steep mountain. There's a lot of moguls. There's some scary terrain sometimes, and it's safe and warm in that lodge, but Lord, get us out there and start us off wherever we're at. But Lord, get us to that next level. Let us be open to that challenge of opening up ourselves, opening up our lives, and being like you. Not shrinking back just because somebody is different, unliked. If we feel that it just might be draining to be around somebody. Lord, show us how when we take those steps of faith to follow your lead, the awesome things that you're going to do in that. Lord, let us just be more like you. We pray in your name. Well, as Keith leads us in this next song, there's a line in the song that I would just want to kind of look at. Where is that? The first line in this stanza. I just want to highlight this. I keep stepping on the cord. Is that what's going on? There we go. Jesus sought me when a stranger. And so that's really what we're talking about today, is no matter, what would we do if Jesus wasn't looking for us? Where would we be? So we want to be like him and keep an eye out for those who everyone else has missed. Okay, why don't we stand and sing and come to the back and pray. If you need prayer, come to the Lord's table as you feel ready.